Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we discuss the worth or value of the gospel. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, won't you please open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 to 39, and I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus is speaking and he says, "A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And so may God bless his word to us today and always. Today we consider the value or worth of the gospel. As we begin, I'm sure that you are aware that the following terms, the good news, the good news of God, the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God, or the gospel of Christ, are all terms speaking of the same thing, the gospel. And the gospel is about the good news of Jesus, God's Son, coming as the one who would bring salvation to the world through his death on the cross as well as his resurrection. If you like, John 3 verse 16 is known as the gospel in a nutshell, because it summarizes all that God has done for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now this is important to know when we read the Bible and our text, because here Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the promotion or telling of the gospel. And it has significance for the whole church, those who profess to be followers of Christ. At the same time, in this passage, Jesus, as with many of his conversations or sayings, stirs up a range of feelings, from dedication to feelings of anxiety and perhaps even great offense. The context of our reading is where Jesus sent out the 12 disciples with authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness, and to tell the lost sheep of Israel that the kingdom of heaven is near. Here, the kingdom of heaven is another term for the gospel. The lost sheep of Israel is a reference to the Jewish nation in general, not a select group of Israelites living in a specific region. The main point is that the message was to be preached to the Jews first, and then later, once the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, the Gentiles would be brought into the picture. And, of course, in the process of proclaiming the gospel, there might be substantial feelings of anxiety and fear on the part of the disciples. For to be a follower of Jesus would mean to attract attention to oneself, but not the kind of attention that would necessarily make one popular. Indeed, in some circumstances, it might prove to be quite hazardous to be the bearer of this good news. With this as the backdrop, then, Jesus began to deal with the possible anxieties and fears in his disciples about rejection and persecution as a result of them carrying out their task. And he did so in a number of ways. Firstly, Jesus spoke of the student-teacher or servant-master principle in verses 24 to 25. And here I'm quoting from the Good News Bible. No pupil is greater than his teacher. No slave is greater than his master. So a pupil should be satisfied to become like his teacher and a slave like his master. And so here's the rub. If the head of the family is called Beelzebul, the members of the family will be called even worse names. Jesus reminded the apostles that he was not asking something of them he himself had not already experienced. They needed to be prepared to face rejection and persecution themselves for the sake of the gospel. So important and valuable was the message of the good news of the gospel and its proclamation that they were to share it no matter what the consequences might be. Secondly, Jesus encouraged the disciples to take the long view when it came to possible persecution or hardship. In verses 26 to 28, Jesus said, "So do not be afraid of people. Whatever is now covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. What I am telling you in the dark, you must repeat in broad daylight. And what you have heard in private, you must announce from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Says one commentator, these verses are all about the wrong and right way of being afraid. To fear human opposition is to get things out of perspective, for people can do no more than kill the body. But God can destroy both soul and body in hell. Disciples should therefore be more afraid of failing him, that is God, by concealing the truth which must, in any case, inevitably be publicly proclaimed. This meant that nothing about the gospel should be held back. Faithfulness to God and the message was required without being swayed by the possible consequences to the messenger. Thirdly, Jesus encouraged the disciples to remember that, while life seemed cheap, their lives spent and sometimes given for the sake of Christ and the gospel would never be lost on God. For God is never unaware of the struggles of his people for the sake of the message of salvation. Jesus then used the image of sparrows to underscore the great value God places on his children's lives and on the gospel. See what he says in verses 29 to 31. "For only a penny you can buy two sparrows, yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, even the hairs of your head have all been counted, so do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows." Even so, it does not necessarily mean that because of the value he places on our lives, we are entirely removed from harm or protected from persecution for the gospel's sake. Knowing and believing that God has final say over our lives, and that God's children might and do die for the sake of the gospel, all within the will of the Father, tells us of the immense worth of the gospel. Thus, the words of Jesus about the sparrows takes on a deeper meaning than simply letting us know that God is aware of and cares deeply for us. What we should hear is that the gospel has such great worth, and while God is extremely concerned for us, he sends us out into a world that is hostile, as sheep among wolves, and expects us to stand by the message he has entrusted us with. After all, we know that the good news of God's salvation was brought about at immense cost to God the Father, as he gave his only begotten Son for the salvation of the world. And so Jesus states in verses 32 to 33, For those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same before my Father in heaven. But if anyone rejects me publicly, I will reject him before my Father in heaven." It is important to remember that Jesus is not talking about owning up to the fact that we are Christians or simply churchgoers. It is more than that. It is to tell those who are our audience at the time, whether family or friend, that Christ gave his life to save those who were lost, to tell the complete gospel with conviction and unashamedly, as well as how our response to it has transformed our lives. That said, we are still perplexed by the words of Jesus we have just read. Is what he said a salvation issue? Well, the answer is, in short, no. It is commonly believed that these verses have nothing to do with our salvation. Rather, they have to do with the blessings God bestows upon us as we stand up for his Son and the gospel. Secondly, it has to do with our eternal rewards, which are based on how we have served God and proclaimed Jesus in this life. For salvation comes by faith alone and not by works. These are not easy things to do. Today we contend with secularism, which is largely the domain of atheists and agnostics. As we conclude with the final section of our reading, we see it has all the potential to make us cringe, especially since Jesus enters into the most sacred of spaces, the family. How do we respond to these statements in verses 34 to 37, where Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Your worst enemies will be the members of your own family. Those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their son or daughter more than me are not fit to be my disciples." To begin with, we must be certain of this. Jesus does not mean that he actively sets family members against one another, even if it seems to read like this. Rather, we must understand that through the cross and the message of salvation, tension and friction will arise, even within families where some believe and others do not, for the gospel does cause offense. In some cases, a spouse or other family member will refrain from standing for the gospel so that the boat will not be rocked, and this is not helpful. But of course, we need to consider what it means to stand for the gospel. It is a stand that introduces a spiritual divide between the follower of Christ and the unbeliever. This does not mean that we cannot be friendly or on proper family terms with others, but it does mean that the spiritual divide will eventually manifest in ethical and other behavioral differences between the believer and those who do not follow Jesus. The more clear that line is, the more clear our faith in Jesus will be, and the more credible our witness. And this will either draw our family and friends to Christ or be a source of tension. It is not about subjecting our family to a constant bombardment of spiritual opinion or books or TV, etc. What Jesus is trying to say here is that there are things even more important than peace, and this one thing is the gospel. So the end of the matter is this. Jesus said, "Those who do not take up their cross and follow in my steps are not fit to be my disciples. Those who try to gain their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will gain it." Instead of seeing this as only a threat of sorts, we need to see the worth of the gospel as Jesus saw it. To stand for the gospel would be the same as to own Jesus. To stand for the gospel would be to know the worth of it for humankind. And to this end we are called. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus gave himself completely to the cross so that we might know you through his death and resurrection. Help us to share this message of your reconciliation with a fallen world and to do so faithfully, so as not to diminish or devalue the inestimable worth of the gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.